Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
So welcome back to another German football podcast, and in true German football fashion, there is far too much to talk about this week. But before we get into everything that happened, Colin's joined with me again today. Colin, how you doing, mate? You good?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Get happy after last night's result myself, as recording.
A celebratory mood too.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got to celebrate even the smallest wins or the big wins. But and joining us again, we've got our special guest, Julian Giesecke, our friend from Paderborn, lives in Bielefeld, supports Frankfurt, but you're back to talk to us again. Julian, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. We got the win last night, wasn't a great game, but it was good to get back on track. And yeah, we'll see how the season pans out, but I guess we'll speak about that later.
Yeah, well, I think we'll take advantage of having you here to talk a wee bit more about the outgoings, shall we say, at Frankfurt at the end of the season, so we can go into that in a bit more detail. But I don't really know where to start. I suppose, Colin, Schalke 04 have left the Bundesliga. Well, they will leave the Bundesliga for the first time in 30 years. The last time was the 1990-91 season. They were in the Zweite Liga. But after two wins, four managers, how many defeats Schalke are leaving the Bundesliga? What are your thoughts on that, Colin? Is it nice just to actually have it set in stone now, and we don't need to keep making the jokes anymore?
I mean, it's sad that it's been long coming, but the way it's coming, it still feels weird when it actually happened. Like, it was one of these things that you still can't imagine going into that season and Schalke not being in the Bundesliga for so many reasons. They're just for one hand, like, you always look forward to the derby with Dortmund, and then on the other hand, they really are the third biggest club, I would say. So it's so strange just not to have them in the top flight, especially if someone like Hamburg don't go up. If you get a second tier with teams like that, it's going to be very strange for German football.
Yeah, Julian, as a German, do you feel for the Schalke fans at all? Are you looking at it as in this is your time to feel Zweite Liga football, feel that you're not the best team anymore? Or do you look at them and sympathise with them in any way?
Yeah, of course, in a way, it's always a bit sad to see such a big club go down. But then again, like Hamburg, have been coming for quite a while and there's been a lot of mismanagement. I mean, I don't think it's possible in any other way to bring a club of that stature down to the second Bundesliga. A lot has to go wrong for that. So I think a lot of people will also feel a lot of Schadenfreude, as we say in German. Yeah. So be happy that Schalke went down. And yeah, you can see the point. It was obviously deserved. There's never really doubts. They have so few points. It's incredible. I listened to the podcast last week, and you obviously said then they had to win every game to get even to the points tally. Of those teams, the worst teams which got to the relegation playoffs in other years. Yeah, it's just been absolutely terrible. So yeah, terrible for the fans, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a shame to see. Obviously, big win for Bielefeld last night to relegate Schalke and to see them jump up the table as well, Julian. It must be, you know, they'll be quite delighted at that. If they were given that at the start of the season, Bielefeld, to know they were relegating a team like Schalke while putting their safety further into field, you know, they'd be delighted for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it shows how much went wrong for Schalke this season as well. When you look at it now and you think, oh, 1-0 against Schalke for Bielefeld. Of course, it's massive 3 points in the fight against the relegation, but really everything else would have been a disappointment for them at this stage. Because now you've just taken the 3 points against Schalke for granted, which, of course, could also be problematic for some teams. So we'll see in the run-in if Schalke maybe manages to play a bit better even with no pressure left and will destroy the hopes of some teams who already take the 3 points against Schalke into calculation. But yeah, anyway, good result for Armenia, and they seem to be in a good way forward now.
Yeah, no, it's a good point to make. And like talking about not playing without pressure anymore, Colin, do you think Giramotsis, is there anything that came through your head after last night's result thinking, God, I really hope they don't sack him like after that? Because like, what was he really expected to do to save them? It's kind of, as Yuli mentioned, it was inevitable. But is there anything in the back of your mind thinking, God, I really hope they don't go out and do something stupid and go out for another manager next season? Or do you think he's pretty much safe?
Yeah, well, I think the plan initially was to get him into that early stage, sort of bed him in, give him time to get used to the club before they get hopefully charged for promotion in the Vita Liga. But you could look at it both ways. So it gives him time to like get his own impact on the team, but also being involved in this season is a bit of a scarring experience. So maybe that could be perceived as a negative. He's now going to be associated with the relegation coming into the new season with negative momentum. I would hope they stick by him, but there's been no real signs during the tenure so far. Like just from one coach to the next, Wagner to Baum to Gross to Giramotsis, it's always just been the same. So hopefully they stick by him. It's not been very successful so far.
No, not at all. I mean, from the German side, Julian, do you think that Colin's pretty spot on with that? You don't think they will end up relieving him of his duties? They'll keep him for his Vita League and hope that he actually builds a squad? Or do you think there's a tiny bit of like he could actually go depending if someone became available? Because so far he hasn't been successful.
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I mean, as Colin said, I am totally of that opinion as well. I hope they give Giramotsis a chance. Because really, what did they expect when he came in? It was already over. And he couldn't bring in any new players. Everyone was, of course, down. And what can you do in that kind of crisis? You can't really expect any wonders from him. And it was just not really on the cards anymore that they could be safe. So I think they should give him a chance next season. But the way things have gone at Schalke have developed so far, I would also not be surprised if they sack him, because as Colin said, they will now connect his name with the relegation from the Bundesliga, which is grossly unfair, really. But yeah, it could happen. And with the way Schalke going, you see that all the managerial changes have obviously not helped. And I don't think the whole sacking one manager after the other is a good way to handle this kind of crisis anyway. But yeah, unfortunately, it's entirely imaginable that he might be sacked, or even at the start of next season, if, say, they don't win the first three games, and then he's gone. And I don't think it will happen.
Yeah, it's a horrible way of looking at it, because it could, that could happen. But hopefully, I think Giramotsis is kind of, he proved at Darmstadt that he could take a team and do really well with them. And now he's got Schalke, he's got more resources, he's got more... You'd hope he'd had a bit of more money for in his Vita Liga next year to try and rebuild this team and bring them back to where they probably should be in the Bundesliga. But I'll keep with you, Julian. And there was a couple of videos going around last night of some terrible teams, you know, at the Vertons when they returned from Bielefeld. And it's disappointing to see, isn't it, that the alleged fans were basically chasing the players and the staff and shouting abuse at them. It's disappointing to see, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You had some similar scenes like that when Hamburg were relegated, and was equally worrying. But apparently when they left the bus, eggshells were thrown at them, or a full axe, and then later some of the players were kicked or punched and they just ran away. An anonymous player said today, released a statement that he was just in fear and he ran away from the fans and doesn't understand how the club could not see this happening and did not prevent this, because obviously I think 500 or 600 fans had gathered outside the stadium and the police was waiting downstairs in the stadium or something like that, even though they had like several hundred policemen there and they only really intervened at a very late stage. So you can of course understand the frustration of the players that they were not protected in a better way, and just fits the general picture. I mean, these fans, or so-called fans, maybe some of them, they said that the players who are not going to be a striker next season anyway, that they should leave Gelsenkirchen right now or they will attack them. So this is not a kind of situation that, which you want to be in or you should be in by any means. As I said, we had seen something maybe not as serious, but a bit like that when Hamburg went down. And of course, you have, sometimes have this, I think it was at Sporting Lisbon when Bas Dost left them, Jonas Frankfurt, they had something like that at the training camp, the fans attacked players, and it's just, I was stepping a line, obviously, and yeah, it's sad to see, but it just sums up the whole situation at Schalke, and there's so much work to be done that I don't even know where they want to start, really.
Yeah, no, it's a shame because, Colin, like, when you look from the outside of the Bundesliga fans, you know that it's all about passion, it's all about being part of the club, being the soul of the club, and when you see things like that happen, then it's kind of disappointing to see, and you hope that that's not the fans that you would look up to when you see the great scenes in the Veltins Arena. That you hope that's not the fans that you're looking at and going, wow, look at that spectacle they're making. You're hoping this is different people, and you know they don't represent the club in any way.
Yeah, well, there's two sides of being a big club. You've got the passionate support, but that can definitely spill over into scenes like that. Every big club has its share of idiots, really. Every small club does as well. But I've always thought throughout this season that Schalke players have been quite lucky that there hasn't been crowds, because they'd have faced a lot more stronger criticism if there was fans in the Veltins Arena, only winning two games at home all season. Some folk have said maybe they've suffered from the lack of atmosphere, but I think it's probably been a positive for them, to be honest. And because of that, though, they've had no real interaction with players. That anger just bottles up, and it's culminated in this. But there's no excuse for that, especially in a week like this. With, I think we're going to get onto the European Super League, but German fan culture has really made good headlines this week in a positive, stuff like 50+1, how important the fans are and how passionate they are. But when it creates ugly scenes like that, it's never good for German football.
No, definitely. It's not at all. And we hope that no one was actually seriously hurt. I don't think anyone was properly hurt by the scenes that happened last night, but it's still not nice to see, especially when it's like footballers who you kind of look up to as idols. It's kind of disappointing to see people acting like that. But we'll move on from Schalke. So, after Colin mentioned about the Super League, so we'll kind of jump into that. But Schalke, no fear, will be in Zweite Liga next season, which I think will be really, it'll make the league that wee bit more exciting as well. It's already one of the most exciting leagues in the world, but having a club like Schalke in there will definitely make it exciting when you see, you know, teams like Erzberg at Aue going to the Veltins and winning 2-0, something like that. That'd be amazing to see. So hopefully it'll make a good spectacle next year. Schalke fans might not like that part of it. But Schalke will be a Zweite Liga side next season. But as Colin rightly mentioned, we don't personally not wanting to go too much into it because Germany pretty much said no straight away. But there was a small matter this weekend of the Super League, the European Super League. And I think it was rightly only named the Super League. Who wants to take it first? Colin, you take it from the kind of Scottish point of view, and Julian can go from the German point of view, and we'll see if it's the same look at it. But the Super League, it's obviously been, I think it's null and void is a good word to use in the past year or so, and it can go with Scottish football, but that seems to be what's happened now. Everyone's backtracked, and the league, the competition will not be going ahead for now, is what they've said. Colin, what's your main views on it, and maybe link it to the German game as well?
Well, yeah, it's not happening for now. So I feel like unless there's a solution to it, it just gets kicked down the road because nothing's really been addressed, I don't think, in terms of the greed and how this has been allowed to happen, really. These rich billionaires having so much power against fan interests. And relating to the German side of things, like when you've got 50+1 in place, rules like that, Bayern and Dortmund haven't joined the Super League. For all you know, the tops of these clubs could maybe have wanted to join the Super League or thought it could have been super beneficial to the clubs, but they know that they're accountable from the fans and they're kept in check. that's the main difference, because there probably there could be that selfishness in the boardrooms and German level, but they can't really go unchecked like the English clubs can and were able to. And I think it's a real positive. It's just really been quite educational, I think, because I think a lot of fans in the Premier League, it's been going on for so long, that increased commercialisation and everything like that, that they're not even really aware of this other side of football and that it's possible that you see in Germany with the fan involvement. And it's really encouraging to see that there does seem to be a more of a clamour for that now, that model. Hopefully it's not just a temporary thing that just goes away, that this really is an opportunity for change. But I'm a bit sceptical of that. I can see it being a sort of temporary thing, because in a way UEFA and the Premier League and organisations like that have now sort of been painted as the good side of this, but they are, in my opinion anyway, they've really contributed to this situation, because where's been the accusations of greed with all the money being flying about in transfer windows? You get Sky Sports, all these pundits, which I do believe as their opinions have got the best interests of the clubs at heart, like Gary Neville and stuff. But they're working for Sky Sports. Sky Sports have these exorbitant TV deals. The last few years, I don't know if you remember the old like transfer deadline days, how much they were celebrating the money being spent. That's greed. That's money flying about. Where was all the negative about that? Knew that Sky Sports and the Premier League and organisations like that wouldn't have benefited from the Super League. Now that that's a problem, it's affecting their pockets. So people just, they need to think about the bigger picture more often than not, than when something like this happens. I think it should be there should be a bigger change. It's not just a single issue. This issue hasn't come out of the blue. It's because of the last 20 or 30 years of football.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you look at one thing I picked up yesterday was like Gary Lineker saying, "Oh, the people have won back the people's game." It's not been the people's game in England for a long, long time. Top four.
Just another thing, like competitions like the Champions League, competitions like the Premier League, formed in 1982. Competitions like that, the premise of them are to suit the biggest clubs. It's all about like TV deals. The Premier League breaking away from the Football League, even in Scotland when the SPL was formed. These aren't formed for like the good of the country's game. It was for the bigger clubs. The Premier League, I was reading about the history just prior to the episodes of the Premier League, and just seeing like it was secret meetings between these big clubs. As it was then, it was like Manchester United, Arsenal, Leeds, Tottenham and Liverpool, I think. And it was all based on the larger clubs getting more TV time, getting more money from TV deals. It's so familiar compared to the situation just now. So the wheels in motion were set a long time ago, the Champions League as well. From the formation of the Champions League to now, the way the qualification has changed, the top four teams from the big leagues getting automatic qualification, teams like Ajax and Celtic having to go through qualifying rounds. The money has been funneled through to the big leagues, and this has been happening for a long time. And with the Champions League reforms, it's going further down that route. So it shouldn't be seen as like UEFA, the status quo is fine, and this new evil Super League, now that that's been rejected, well, it seems to have gone away for now. It's just kicking it down the road, really.
Yeah, I think UEFA are hoping that the Super League is going to be the wool that covers the eyes of what's happening to the Champions League, because obviously there's going to be a new system to the Champions League. And if I'm right in saying, I looked and it said that if teams don't qualify, there's two teams from the top coefficient will join the competition. So right now, Arsenal and Tottenham would get into the Champions League for finishing wherever they are, 7th and 9th in the table. So I think UEFA don't have anything. I think it's the same with the six clubs. I think no one should be accepting apologies from these six clubs. They went behind the main reason we all love football, and it's fans. The fans who go to games, and they went behind all their backs, and they're now 2 days later saying, "Oh, we're really sorry," and you know, all is well. It's not all as well. It was going to happen. It was going to happen with all these clubs, all these American business owners coming in, trying to treat them like it's the NFL, the NBA, all these. It was meant to be. Like I mentioned earlier, like Gary Lineker put something up about the people's game being saved by the people. Like, no, it's not. It's not been, it's been, yes, saved by the people, but it's never going to be saved. It's the game's not what it was, like you said, like 20, 30 years ago before all these TV deals came in. But none of the clubs, like, I don't understand the fans of these clubs either. I know it's a really difficult situation, but I don't understand how, like, for instance, like Tottenham fans are coming out going, all right, it's fine, they've said they're not doing it anymore, it doesn't matter. Tottenham shouldn't have been anywhere near that. Tottenham, like, German, like, there's teams in this Vital League in Germany have won the European Cup more times than Tottenham have. I mean, it's crazy. There's, like, I bet, like...
It's arrogance of it. It's, like, it's astounding arrogance, really. Because whatever you say, I mean, I was negative with the Champions League and the Premier League there, but that being said, it's still, you're still there based on merit. So a team in the Champions League, theoretically, a team in the Drittliga could get, I mean, a very bad example, but Leipzig were like started in the Oberliga, I think it was, or down in the lower leagues at least, and they managed to get in the Champions League. So theoretically, a club that's in the lower leagues could build their way up to these competitions or the top league. But in this, teams like AC Milan, Tottenham, Inter Milan, Arsenal, who know they can't guarantee, based on their performances on the pitch, their place in these competitions. So based on their historical reputation and money, they're just...
It's hard to comply your opinions on it when you actually speak about it and you rant about it. And we will bring Julian in a minute, don't worry. I can see you urging off the edge of your seat there, Julian, getting ready to go, but we'll bring you in a minute. It's just, if you think about it from the British point of view as well, like, you know, you're right, like, you tried to use Leipzig as an example, but think about, like, remember when, I know it's another bad example because it's money-driven, but remember when Gretna came flying up through the leagues and Gretna, like, were planning to go for European football and things like that? Like, it's possible for teams like that. I know it's another bad example because it's a money-driven team. I can't think of any team. I mean, Inverness flying through the leagues and getting into European football, I mean, that was, I mean, two games, but it was exciting. Like, they went from the 90s when they formed from the lower leagues all the way up, and they ended up winning Scottish Cup. And they qualified. You know, the fact that these teams were just going to say, oh, no, we'll invite all these teams. We'll invite teams like Benfica, Porto, all the kind of like Wolfsburg, Frankfurt. We'll invite them for a season. It's like, it's so big-headed and so... Oh, it's horrible to think about. But we'll. I think it's been spoken about so highly from the British point of view, obviously, because that's where the majority of it came from. And the British head, so we'll bring Julian in now, just to kind of give us a German view. So, Julian, what's the kind of German outlook on what's happened with the Super League? Because obviously, we knew quite early on that the Bayern and Dortmund came out, Leipzig also came out saying that they weren't going to take any part of it, they weren't going to acknowledge this. What's your kind of point of view and like the point of view of Germany as a whole? Because I think it's been more widespreadly spoken about in the UK because, like I said, the main six teams were the English big six money spenders. So, what's your kind of view on it, the German kind of point of view?
Yeah, I think in Germany, most people were quite aware that Bayern and Dortmund and Leipzig, and especially because PSG also rejected joining. There was probably less about having a moral high ground, but more about Champions League football being more or less guaranteed for them most seasons. I mean, Dortmund might actually bottle it this season, but usually, that's a very big chance for them. And in England, obviously, they have six teams, and only four of them can qualify. And some have also thought about it as a leverage to force UEFA to change plans. I read a report by Bloomberg last night that UEFA, after their own Super League project, which basically reformed the Champions League even more. So, yeah, as you've said before, I don't think that we can be too optimistic looking forward, because these plans won't just be dropped. And apparently they also talked to the German teams, obviously, and they said no for now, but at least from the reports I saw on Monday, Dortmund and Bayern did not rule it out joining in the long term, only ruled out joining now. So yeah, the problem will still be there. And I think even for the leagues outside the top leagues, like Scottish football or in the Netherlands, teams have discussed in the past to have something like an Atlantic Super League, where you will have the Dutch teams, the Scottish teams, and the Danish top teams, and they would leave their leagues, which right now was not a plan of the Super League. I was proposed, obviously, they would have stayed in the national leagues, even though I would thought that's only a first step as well, because they said they will have 12 teams now, but they're planning with 20 teams in the long term. So yeah, sadly, I think this development, it will go on, and for now it has been stopped. But as Colin said, even the Champions League reform, it's just basically the same. You'll have six English teams in the end, and they were only unhappy about that because there'll be four more teams, which means they have to divide the money by 36 and not by 32, so I'll have some less money. And of course, JP Morgan made this offer of $3.5 billion to start the Super League. So I'm quite pessimistic over there, unfortunately. And I don't think these plans have been abandoned. And as Colin said, UEFA and FIFA, they now played sort of the really good side, but you also see it with the World Cup and the Euro, which they enlarge even more to get more money. And they want the big club World Cup. They've been wanting that for years. So unfortunately, it's just going in that direction. And with no fans being in the stadiums right now, I think that's probably why they did it now. And they feel they can do it now because the fans will be less able to protest and stuff like that. Of course, there were a few scenes like on Monday at Elland Road in Leeds, someone burned a Liverpool top in the play against Liverpool, something like that. But obviously, chances for fans to protest are much less right now. So I think it was a big factor that contributed to the plans coming forward right now. And yeah, I don't think the ideas can be quelled in the long term, which is kind of sad for football.
No, it's sad. It's sad for football that this is being allowed to grow and grow and reach this melting point where it has literally exploded over 2 days. And luckily it's went down for a wee while, but it's not going to go down forever, as both of you have said. One of the main reasons that the German teams didn't join, Julian, is mainly to do with the fact that German clubs are owned in different ways. So I wonder if you could try and explain to folk who don't understand it fully what the 50+1 rule is in Germany and why that was probably one of the most important factors in the German clubs at this moment saying no. Like you said, they never came out and said they weren't going to do it altogether, but they said for now, no. But the 50+1 rule, can you give us a wee brief description on what that actually means and why it's important for the German game?
Yeah, the 50+1 rule means that no German club can be fully owned by a foreign or any kind of private investor. It means that 50+1, because the 51%, so it's always a majority, will stay. Is it 51? They can join. Anyway, they will never have an absolute majority, basically. And the club itself, so to say, the actual members of the club will still have a say, no matter what. And of course, Leipzig, Hoffenheim, Wolfsburg have been creative in trying to go past these rules. And in the past, there are several attempts by Martin Kind, the main owner or contributor, of course, because you cannot really say owner in Germany because of this rule. The main investor and chairman at Hannover, 96, for years. We tried several times to take these things to court, saying they are against EU law. But it has always been, he has never been successful with going forward for that. So, but the rule is still in place and still means that German clubs can't just be taken over by a private investor, basically, to just sum it up. And they might have played a role now with the Super League as well, as you're suggesting, even though I didn't really read that as a reason in German news, so I'm not sure it did, but of course, the interest is there, especially from American investors in this case, to have more influence over the clubs. And the four of the English teams obviously have US American majority owners. So I think it's really important for German football, and it makes a big difference, especially to English football, as you've said. And with the current developments, there might be more attacks on the rule in the future, but for now, it's something many fans in Germany are very proud about to have. Then again, others are very unhappy with it because they think that it also cements Bayern's position and that guarantees them winning the league because no other team can really catch up.
Yeah, that's a fair point of looking at it. What I was going to bring into that is because these businessmen can't come in and fully, to own clubs or fully invest in clubs, whatever words make sense for the German game. Because of how big the Bundesliga is getting in America now, I think in the last maybe 5-10 years, Bundesliga has grown massively in America, and you can see all the games in ESPN Plus, I think it is now. And, you've got people like Derek Ray advocating it in the States, and it's growing huge. Do you think that it's good that those rules are in place, that these American owners aren't going, well, this is getting big, let's grab onto this, we'll buy Bayern, we'll buy Dortmund, we'll buy, I don't know, maybe not Wolfsburg, just with their kind of run, but all these other clubs, and go, well, we'll take them, we'll make them the super clubs. So that's probably a good way of having the 50+1 rule, is one of those reasons, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's obviously pretty different from American sports. So it's interesting to see that, despite that, I mean, of course, maybe many American fans might not be aware of it, but it's kind of contradictory to what they usually have in their sporting culture, so to say. But this maybe make the German league unique in a way, at least differentiated it from the English game, as I said. So, I think actually it is that investors can own 51% of the club, but they can never have the voting majority. So the members will always still have to say, as I said, some teams like Leipzig, whoever, are creative in circumnavigating this rule. I think they just raised the member fees, the annual fee you have to pay, to such an absurd amount that they only have a couple of dozen members. And of course, most of them are just people who work for Red Bull. But mostly it is still a very important institution. It's still a place. And especially when it comes to things like that, where you have foreign investment, of course, it's relevant. And that means these things are limited in the Bundesliga, and you can't just see, I don't know, Fortuna Düsseldorf being taken over by a Chinese investor and suddenly buying Cristiano Ronaldo.
Imagine Ronaldo making his way out of the Merkel-Spiel Arena. That would be exciting, wouldn't it, Colin? Colin, looking at Julian's point about the 50+1 rule, do you think that's something that should be implemented in the UK?
I think in a perfect world, it would be the same across the board. I think everybody having it would just make football a better place if every club was owned by their fans, but I don't think that's a particularly realistic proposition. I think countries like England, it's too far gone in the way of international investment, commercialisation, for that to actually happen. But it would just make for a more level playing field, because there's discussions every season when German clubs get knocked out of Europe, as the 50+1 rule holding them back in terms of being competitive in Europe, because we don't have that same investment. To be honest, I think with a rule like that, they do really well to be close to the other leagues as they are. I think they're the money that's pumped into English football compared to German football, I think there should be a much bigger difference between the quality of those two leagues. So I think Germany does really well to be competitive. But to answer your question, I would love to see that, but I can't see it being particularly plausible. Although, as I said earlier, there is clamour for it. There does seem to be a desire for it, but English football doesn't seem to have that same active fan participation that German football does. German football you saw with like the Monday night games, that was really turned around because of the fan protests. Even when the TV deal, it was announced that they were going to stop Monday games, they still continued protests during them, just to reinforce that point that fans should not be taken for granted at games. I can't really see that same culture in these other countries for these like, the ongoing fan participation to push the point and for that for something like 50+1 to finally come in place. I don't think. I would love it, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like you look at the way both countries, like you said earlier about how well Germany does to keep up with them, considering that they don't have these big investors that some of the other clubs do. Like, I mean, Tottenham are considered one of the best teams in the world right now, but Bayern Munich spanked them 7-2 last time they played them. So, like, you can talk about investors and how you're such a big club, but, like, at the end of the day, it's down to your football and ability. But you look at the way they've handled the pandemic with, like, television deals, like, Bundesliga have stuck to their tradition of Halb Vier, you know, 3:30 kickoffs on a Saturday, and then they divide them on a Sunday. And then you look at the way England have done it, and England have got a game on every couple of hours on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday night. And they've split them so people can buy TV packages to go and watch each individual game. So the viewing figures is going to be obviously it's going to be bigger for each one. But if you have Chelsea versus Man City on at the same time as you have Crystal Palace versus what's another small team in the Premier League? Fulham. Sorry. Not my fourth in the Premier League. Fulham, Crystal Palace film, you're not going to watch it, but if you put that on a different time, people are going to watch it. Whereas in the Bundesliga, they've still got, like last night, they had, you know, the teams at the bottom of Bielefeld and Bielefeld and Schalke, and you also had Bayern Munich versus Bayer Leverkusen at the same time. They're not splitting it so people watch it more. So there's different viewpoints in German football and English football, and that's probably the main reason why you can see what happened with the English clubs. Completely going for it when they didn't think about it in any other way apart from money, greed, and that's all that was kind of brought into it. German football, we hope, had a better outlook at it. And when they said no, they meant no. And it wasn't just to prove a stance or anything. It was that German football is still meant to be for the fans. Personally, I just wish that the clubs would have a bigger, like the clubs in these leagues and these television companies would have a bigger stance against a bit more important things, like all the racism things that happens, like UEFA having a big massive, oh, we can't do this. Super League, that's the worst thing in the world. But you see all the happenings with Rangers with Glenn Kamara and Kudela getting 10-game ban, minimum ban. But, oh, we'll get rid of Arsenal because Arsenal wanted to run away from our competition. They spent more time thinking about the worst things. It's all about money now, and that's just, I've totally lost interest in European competition. After that, I think it's next year's Champions League, and it's just not going to be fun to watch anymore. I think it's highlighted the fact that football is money now at the top end of the level, and this is why I would 100% encourage anyone to go and watch their local side. Go watch their local teams. Not forget about the club that they supported their full life, but at the same time, you're gonna get appreciated more than if you go down and watch a Lowland League side or a Regionalliga side, or then you are going to watch some of the bigger sides in the country. It's not fair, and it's just listening to fans who are like similar to our age and saying football's dead, but they grew up in Dumfries and they support Rangers, and saying football's dead, you know, like they grew up in Aberdeen, but they support Rangers, they grew up in Inverness and support Celtic, or they grew up in Kiln and support Bayern, things like that. It's just, it's you can't have a point of view when this happens, and we're, you know, it's not very fair in the end to have these opinions, but I've just literally lost a lot of interest in football, and it got me down before the Kiln game yesterday, which we'll come on to why I'm ecstatic about it, but it got me before that game. I was not interested in watching at all. It just made me fall out of love with football for 2 days, and it's all reached that melting point at the moment, and it's just not what you want to see. But I think we'll probably just kind of finish up in the Super League before we continue ranting any longer. Focus on other issues in football. Don't focus on the money and getting more money part of it. If you've got that money, go invest it in better things like kicking racism out of the game and, you know, things like this, and actually not just worrying about how you can line your pockets even more. It's just horrible to see, and I'm glad that, for instance, Scottish football is not, probably can't afford to be like that, but I'm just glad that German football kind of took that stance as well, and we'll see where we end up in a couple of years' time, but like we all said, it's not far from over, this Super League nonsense. But we'll move on to nicer things, and FC Köln beat Leipzig in the relegation battle. The Abstiegskampf is well and truly on. Julian, I mean, did you watch the game before you watched your beloved Adler last night? Köln are, that's a huge result for Köln.
Yeah, it's a huge result. I didn't watch it. I've got to admit, I didn't watch it, no. But I was surprised to see you beating Leipzig. I mean, to be fair, Leipzig have probably lost motivation a bit now. They can't really catch Bayern anymore. So it's maybe a bit easier to beat them now, but still, massive result, obviously, for Köln. And it was needed. It was needed. Arminia are winning again, and Mainz have been a more or less decent form in their whole Rückrunde. And we don't know what's going to happen with Hertha. This is another topic, I suppose, we have to mention because they're still in quarantine. And yeah, we don't know when they will play their games and everything. So that would be very, very weird because right now it's really difficult to say where do we stay in the relegation battle, especially because they would have played against Mainz, I think, last weekend. So that's another down there, and they couldn't play against Hertha, and we don't even know when the game is going to take place, I think. So for now, it's all very provisional, so to say. But yeah, Köln really needed a win. I mean, otherwise, he would have just lost touch to Bielefeld, basically. If I can't say anything about Mainz and Hertha right now. So it was a massive win and an unexpected one. So maybe we'll also boost the morale at Köln and give you that little bit extra for the last few games. And that's probably a good thing for Köln. And even more interesting, I think, is that Bremen and Hoffenheim, depending on their results tonight, they could be dragged back into the relegation fight as well. They're only 4 points, or in Bremen's case, 6 points, I think. In Hoffenheim's case, ahead of Hertha on the relegation playoff spot. And Köln, I think, is the same amount of points on the direct relegation spot right now. Yeah, they're not far away from that. And I think even Augsburg, who've been absolutely rueful the last few weeks, probably been the worst team in the last few weeks. Didn't they lose to Schalke? Yeah, I think they did. So yeah, it's far from over, and it's really hard to predict right now who's going to stay up.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to the Abstiegskampf, how that kind of finishes up. I think it's going to be really exciting. I think for Köln, like I said, it was really positive to get that result. Jonas Hector, fantastic football player, of course. Football goth, as we like to say. It was exciting to see. But I think one point personally we'd like to raise, I'm so shocked at the club's handling of Freedom Funkel, considering the club comes out as this club that's different, this club that engages with everything, that wants to be part of all diversity. And the handling of what happened at the weekend of Funko is just shocking for me, and I'm really surprised he's still in a job. I think no matter how Köln stay up with Funko, I would really be surprised. I feel like he should be relieved of his duties. I don't know, Colin, what's your kind of thoughts on that? I think it's just foolish of the club to do that. Not to attack the club in any way, but I just think it's the fact that he just brushed over it, and it's now been completely brushed over by beating Leipzig. It's quite disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think with the nature of Funkel being an interim coach, makes the decision for him a bit, so he's going to be heading off anyway. A little bit lucky that if he was a permanent coach, I think they'd have more of a decision to make. But they're probably of the thought that sacking Funkel now would derail their relegation battle, which you could say is less important in the grand scheme of things. I did see the Ultras put out a statement calling for his sacking, which is interesting. But the time's passed now, so it looks like nothing's going to happen.
I mean, you look at, you've got players, Kingsley Azebue, Dennis, Jacobs, what do they think looking at their manager just being abhorrently racist to another team? and then the club just say, oh, I didn't mean to say what he said, and he said, oh, I didn't mean it, I didn't know what I was going to say, and then that's over. I think that's just really, really poor. Like you said, they can't really afford to get rid of him. They can't afford to show that they made a mistake after one game, and then he's actually came out and he's been completely racist. it's a difficult position, but I really hope that by the end of the season, I don't care if Kearns stay up, I think it should be gone. Like after that, it's really difficult to see.
But you can see how issues like that can tear a club apart. You saw Schalke with Clemens Tönnies with his comments for so long that, and he just had a temporary suspension and wasn't sacked at the time, but the fans continue to campaign that he should be out. Kearn should be spared from that, as I said, with Funkel just being temporary anyway. But you can see how an issue like that, if it dragged on, could be really harmful for the club. And it's an unwanted distraction at this stage of the season as well.
I mean, I don't want to be so depressing about it all, but like, it's really disappointing to see that at a club like FC Köln, who pride themselves on being different, super banders, you know, that's the motto of the club, Julian, you know, like simply different, you know, especially different, you know, it's a shame to see something like that. But we'll move on to Frankfurt. Good win last night. Julian's making it was a good win last night nod. But to kind of bring in more important matters at Frankfurt, which we didn't get to talk about last week because we spoke about the battle at the bottom for most of the time, but we'll come into Frankfurt just for a couple of minutes. Obviously, Adi Hütte will go to Borussia Mönchengladbach at the end of the season, and Freddy Bobic is also on his way to Hertha Berlin. Is it really disappointing, Julian, as a Frankfurt fan, to see you going through such a really good season? You're going to qualify for the you should qualify for the Champions League. There shouldn't really be much stopping your way, and you're losing probably your best manager for a long time in Adi Hütte to a similar rival. You're going for the same things every year. And also, you know, Freddy Bobic, he's brought a lot of good times to Frankfurt, you know, winning the Pokal as well a few years ago. Is it disappointing to see this as kind of end of an era, if you will, at the Deutsche Bank Park?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's extremely disappointing, especially those two. There's also Bruno Hübner, the sporting director, who will also leave. But I think he wants to retire or do less work anyway. He's not leaving to join another club. So there's no hard feelings in that one, obviously, because it's understandable. I think he's in his early 60s. But yeah, I think there's a lot of frustration at Hütte and at Bobic as well. Bobic is an interesting case. When he arrived, many people were skeptical of him because the jobs, the stations where he worked before us, I think it was Stuttgart, among others, he was not really that successful, and he always seemed under fire, but he did a really good job building the squad we have now. And it's just disappointing seeing him leave at this point for Hertha, who just spent a lot of money but don't seem to be able to do anything with it, much like the English club we talked about before. it's been a little disappointing to see him go for the money, and he thinks he can take them further, and it's kind of the same argument as Hütte says, that he sees more potential in Gladbach, even though it's, of course, mainly about money as well. you imagine both of them will earn more than they did in Frankfurt. But I think the most disappointing thing really is that right now we are in third place, and of course, Wolfsburg are still to play tonight. But still, we're in third place right now, and now both of them are leaving and going to Hertha and Gladbach and saying they see more potential there, when I don't really see them getting any better than third place. I mean, of course, it's temporary right now, but if you want to prove your credentials, you also show that you can repeat the success. Even if you only finish seventh or something in that next season, and if we exit the Champions League, still, it would be good for Hütte's reputation of being in the Champions League, for Bobic as well, of course. So I think there was kind of a dynamo effect that just influenced each other. Bobic wanting to leave, and then Hütter knew that Bobic was going to leave, so that probably influenced his decision as well, to be fair. Because he said the first time Gladbach contacted him, he was absolutely not interested, and he rejected it, which was in January, I think. So that's an interesting one. And of course, it's also kind of ironic how Gladbach complained about Rose joining Dortmund and Dortmund activating the clause in his contract to buy him for 5 million euros. And now they do exactly the same with Hütter, and he's even more expensive, 7.5 million. He's now going to be the most expensive manager in Bundesliga history. And I saw Toni Kroos in his podcast saying he imagines that soon Bundesliga managers will cost 25 million euros. And it's just crazy. I don't know how he seemed to support that in his podcast. And I don't really see why you should do that. Yeah, in any case, it's just very disappointing and very worrying for us from a sporting point of view, because it will also mean a lot of players will be leaving. André Silva is as much as his gun. There's a rumor about Dortmund today. There were rumors about Milan earlier because he joined from there. You're bringing in 40 million. That's not more than that. It's still good money, obviously. But yeah, it's not like we can buy a player like him again. Or as I said, when I was here the last time, we were really lucky in the situation he was in and the swap deal with Rebic to get a player of his caliber. And yeah, there'd probably be other players out of the door. So probably really struggle next season, especially with playing in the Champions League in the Bundesliga, and you've got to be worried about where it'll be, and that would be fighting relegation all year long probably. So yeah, it's not good.
No, I feel bad bringing you on this week and speaking about it all, where you know you've got the disappointment of the Super League, and then you've got the disappointment of having to speak about losing Hütter and Bobic. But apologies for putting you through that, but you know it's good to hear your points there from Frankfurt fan as well. But Colin, with Hütter, like he really made a good point there. Like they're talking like they're going to be able to do more with Hertha and Gladbach. Yes, maybe with Hertha right now because the way they are, that he's got the chance to just next season. Hertha could have had a good season anyway. I mean, I highly doubt it considering the way they've been going. But he can now take Hertha higher than if they survive, he can take them higher, or he can get them promoted at first asking if they go down with Hütter. Is he going to get better than third place with Gladbach? But can you also look at it in a way that Hütter couldn't take Frankfurt any further? Like Champions League was in qualified for Champions League, that's the farthest Hütter could take Frankfurt. Sorry, that was a big question. Answer any point as you will.
Well, you look at it, Hütter is looking very likely to get Frankfurt to the Champions League. He's had them in the Europa League, got into the Europa League semi-finals. He's also been there for, this is his third season, so maybe he just thinks his job is done and he is looking at other factors like the club, the other personnel that are leaving, like Freddy Bobic and Hubner, and the players that will be going as well. Julian's probably more glued up in this than I am, but I'd imagine Gladbach's financial situation is better than Frankfurt's as well. So they're not at the level of like Dortmund, but I'd imagine there maybe is that bit more potential. But as you say, like, can they get more than say third? You could get that this season anyway. So it does seem like a bit of a sideways moving based on the league form this season, I moved down, but Hertha, I think Hertha could have a good season next year. They could win a trophy. It's Vita Liga, but
it'd be interesting to see if he manages to do that in this first year, Bobic. But no, it's a strange timing, I would say, especially when it was announced days before you had to go to Gladbach, and then you got absolutely pummeled 4-0 by Gladbach as well. And it happened with Gladbach, went through a rough patch after they knew Marco Rose was going to go. And they went through a really bad patch, actually. And then I was thinking Frankfurt are going to do similar. In a way, I was kind of hoping they would have lost last night to make that point more clear. They say, it's happened again. But unfortunately, you know, you did go out and you picked up the points. Yeah, not unfortunately at all. It was good to see Frankfurt win last night. But you know, I mean, I think it's not going to be easy the rest of the season, because that must be going through the players' heads. Where are they going to be next year? Who's going to be around next year? You know, it's going to be really difficult. So, like you said, we could lose a lot of players, Frankfurt, next year, and it'll be. It's a shame to see that their what could be their inaugural season in the Champions League could be absolutely ruined by these decisions, unfortunately. So we'll jump into the last couple of things. We'll move on. We won't go too much into the games coming up because there's far too many games and we'll take a long time to go through. We want to go on to our quiz. I want to beat Julian. I want to get my own back on Julian from last week. Last time you were on, which is January, I think, February. So we'll get into that. Lastly, just going to touch on Hansi Flick. Obviously, it came out saying that Hansi Flick wanted to leave. Bayern said that wasn't going to, like, he didn't want that to happen. Colin, it feels like it's going to happen. It's a bit inevitable that Hansi Flick will start this manager merry-go-round, going to Germany, national team, and then maybe Nagelsmann goes to Bayern, or, you know, Klopp goes to Bayern, maybe, I don't know. Don't want to put too many, you know, like, ideas in the water. But it's kind of obvious that it looks like Flick will be leaving. Disappointing, or do you think it's kind of going to happen? He's won everything. What more can he do? It's just strange that he's done it without any fans in the stadium at all.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's disappointing from the point of view a year ago, when you consider what happened with winning the Champions League and everything. But personally, I'm not disappointed because I rated Hansi Flick, and Flick leaving Bayern for me isn't a bad thing. But it probably is a good timing for Bayern, because Nagelsmann, Leipzig, they're having quite a poor end of the season. So maybe, and they didn't do particularly well in the Champions League. You still get the chance of Pokal success. Maybe want to be looking at his next move shortly. Similarly to Klopp, it's not been a good season for Liverpool. So maybe look to move back on, potentially back to Germany. He's only really going to come back for a very big job. The Bayern one definitely fits that bill. Be interesting to see. I think it would only be a good thing for Bayern if it did lead to a big high-scale appointment like that.
Yeah, and Julian, like I said about the kind of merry-go-round that might be happening, do you think that is something that could fulfill its potential in the summer? You could see the likes of Flick on the go, Nagelsmann on the go, Jesse Marsch finally making his way into German football. You've already seen Rosas going to Dortmund. You already see Hütter going to Frankfurt. What do you think is going to all unfurl over the summer, and we're going to have a big change in the Bundesliga next season?
Yeah, totally possible. I mean, these things are always difficult to predict, obviously, and there's different candidates for them. I think the interesting thing with the Nagelsmann to Bayern rumor is also that they've already signed Upamecano from Leipzig as a replacement for Alaba, who today announced that he will be joining Real Madrid, or more or less it was announced by media. Seems kind of official now. I think he confirmed that he's going to Spain. But yeah, media saying it would be Real, even if it's Barcelona, it doesn't really matter from a Bayern perspective. They got a good replacement in Upamecano, that's the point. So that's maybe another factor why Nagelsmann would fit in. And as Colin has said, they've maybe not had the season they wanted to have, been a bit disappointing in the Champions League. And he's really been there for quite a few years now and done what he could have done. So I could well imagine that. And of course, yeah, if that happens, then Leipzig need a new coach. And that could be Jesse Marsch as well, if Nagelsmann leaves, because obviously he's working at Red Bull Salzburg, and there's like every Bundesliga team which is on the search for a manager is basically interested in him. But Frankfurt, I haven't really heard any rumors about us yet. Rangnick is not going to come, but yeah, Rangnick is also still there. He's going to be somewhere. He can do a job. I wouldn't have minded him as a Germany manager, to be honest, because he always does a lot of rebuilding. And I think it would not have been a bad thing for the DFB, the German Football Association, if they had someone who really puts forward reforms. Because obviously, Löw has done a great job over the years. And Flick has been a good assistant manager as well when he was there. But it many people feel that it's time for change and just to change up things to someone like Rangnick would be good. I mean, Flick has obviously done very well at Bayern, so sure, he guided the German team well, but still, an external, more of an external solution might have been nice as well. And I think one of the reasons why he is leaving Bayern is this conflict with Hasan Salihamidžić, the sporting director, which has been much publicized. So these kind of things always come into play. And yeah, we might have a major merry-go-round with the managers in the summer, not just because of Bayern wanting a new manager and then this going down the clubs, basically, but also because you always have these kind of conflicts. And I still remember vividly how Mainz sacked the coach after promotion, I think, and before a single game in the second, in the first Bundesliga. They only had a cup game, but the manager had to fall out with the board, and then he was sacked before the first Bundesliga game. So you never know. And with the potential already being there for this, and then the fact is you can never predict coming into play. It could well be happening, and sacking managers is sadly very popular now as well, so it can always happen too. I mean, we talked about Funkel earlier. Maybe or probably you began a Köln as well, and they need a new manager, and so on. So yeah, Frankfurt need a new manager, as I said. Yeah.
That just to finish up before we go to the quiz, who do you want? Who do you think is suitable for Frankfurt? Who do you want Eintracht Frankfurt next season?
Thing is that I haven't really seen any rumors apart from Rangnick. So specifically to say, I've got to say, people will probably disagree with me. some will probably disagree. But personally, I would also give a shout for Steffen Baumgart, who's not going to renew his contract at Paderborn, but to the Bundesliga. And yeah, Köln are also interested in him, I know. So I think maybe he's not the most like tactically superior mastermind. But he's always a good servant of a club. I mean, he's done a really good job at Paderborn. He stayed for 4 years. He rejected the chance to join other teams when they got relegated last year. And now he's just saying that the chapter is over for him without having a new club already lined up. And he's always spoken his mind, and a lot of people like him for that. So I think he's a really good representative of a club. And he seems to usually get the best out of the players. And I think staying in the midfield this season is really absolutely fine for Paderborn after, since 2014, yeah, they've been promoted or relegated every season, which is crazy. So yeah, I think he could be a good option. And I'm not really sure about all these managers who've been out of job for years and who've always come up as names. And usually it doesn't really work out because there's a reason they have not been in a job for years. But yeah, maybe it will be someone totally left the field, somewhere, one working in Belgium or Switzerland or something like that coming up. So I can't really say right now. There's not really any rumors about Frankfurt's new manager right now. So yeah, I'm just going to put out there that Baumgart would also be a good option, I think.
I would love to see Baumgart running along the line, angry decision at the Bernabeu, or something like that. I think that'd be outstanding in the Champions League next season. I want that to happen. Frankfurt sign him. Hire Stefan Baumgart just for that one thing. I'm running out of his hand, like just going right out of the hand. That would be outstanding. Please see that happen. Although I do think if the Köln job comes available, I think he will be their main choice at the moment. But that would be outstanding. Get Baumgart and the Bernabeu.
What I'm picturing is one of these like December games in Russia, and he's still wearing his polo shirt. And
yeah. Look at the cowboy still just like standing there shouting at everyone, taking on every Russian in that stadium, telling them where to go. That would be excellent. Yeah, we're big fans of Baumgart, clearly. Done well at Paderborn, got a late draw tonight to maybe put Osnabrück in relegation trouble, but we won't go any further into that. Okay, so we'll finish things up with our usual quiz, and Colin's going to take the reins for the, don't like to admit, but the second time tonight, as me and Julian had very much a lot of difficulty naming a starting 11 for a specific game for Colin's choosing, which we are both very, very disappointed with ourselves now after thinking, but it's been a long day. So Colin's now, at the speed of light, heroically made a new quiz, so we're going to pass over to Colin, who's not going to be annoyed at us any longer, hopefully.
Yes, well, there's a in the run-up to this episode, I picked the said game as it was relatively recent, very memorable game. Assuming that people on a German football podcast would be able to answer these questions, but apparently not. So I've had to go a bit closer to home for this game so that we'll actually get more than five answers. And I'm going to get you to name the lineups from Eintracht Frankfurt versus FC Köln. Surprise, surprise. From February 2018. Which finished 4-2 to Frankfurt. So the season that Frankfurt won the Pokal, I believe, and Köln got relegated.
Yeah.
4-2. So I'll start the timer and Julian can get the first guess and we'll go in turns. So go.
So that is in 2018?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so second half of the 17-18 season. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I suppose Sebastian Allaire is there still.
He was a sub.
Oh my god, here we go again.
The issue with the last quiz was we kept guessing all the subs. I've started.
Yeah.
The sub. I'm going to make my first guess, and my first guess is going to be Timo Horn.
Yes.
Whoa.
Timo Horn.
Makoto Hasebe.
Yes. Here we go. One each. We're getting some points.
Jonas Hector.
Yep. Left back.
Filip Kostic.
No. He was a high spell.
Oh, but it's still a hard song. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. That way.
Checking the allegation.
Ante Rebic?
Yes. 3-1.
I'm going to guess Frankfurt players now.
Yeah. David Abraham?
No.
Ooh.
Okay, this is over.
Anthony Modest? Oh, did he go to China?
No.
Any Da Costa, maybe?
Yes. Any Da Costa. 3-2.
Matthias Lehmann?
Good.
Yes. Good shout.
Oh, at Köln, yeah. Luka Jovic?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go Frankfurt. I'm going to go back to Kel. Christian Clements?
No.
Maybe. I don't think so was there yet. Rode?
No.
Was it too early as well?
That was the following season, yeah.
Marcel Riza?
He's a sub. He came on.
Of course. You got to be a sub. I should probably get a Köln player to make it more difficult for Roy, but Köln is also one of these teams who exchange their squad so often. Just to keep track of who's there.
I've got more guesses for Köln. I've still got more guesses here. Who are you going for?
I don't think, no, he was not there yet. Kamada was still on loan in Belgium, I suppose. Probably he would not have played. I don't think was so.
No.
Yeah, probably arrived later then.
Yuya Sako.
No.
Is it the bench?
No, he wasn't there.
Nah, he was at Cologne when they got relegated. He must have just not been in the squad.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, that's what I mean. He wasn't in the squad.
Aye.
Okay. Interesting one. Who else could it be? Must be. Can't be that hard. Was Marco Rose playing, maybe?
Yeah, Marco Rose.
Yes.
Back in the game.
4-4.
Ah, shit. Milos Jojic?
Yeah. Well done.
Good one. What's his name? Oh, damn it. I'm trying to think of current players here. They just evade me. I think Roy already picked off all the easy ones.
Oh, thanks. Easy ones.
Yeah. I should not do that. So was Flume. Johannes Flume.
No.
He played way too many games.
Hage Mera.
Yeah. That's 6-4.
I nominate.
Should not give any tips, probably, but no, I'm thinking of a current player, but I can't remember his name. I even know how he looked. No idea he was there at the time, but I should not give away anything about him because then Roy would guess him for sure.
There's a well-known strike pairing. Well, not well-known as a pair, but two like well-known strikers for Curl.
Yeah.
Was Uja there?
No.
Nah, too late for Uja. I've got a few guesses, so I'm just going to go Dominic Heinz.
Yeah. Dominic Heinz. 7 points for Roy. Julian.
Not very good at this. I've got to realize. I don't know who adds a centre back if Alarm is not playing. Bastos must have arrived later than that. Oh, Gasiljevic.
He was a sub.
Close. I'm positive. Like, I don't want to make this a wrong guess because I feel like I just should take away any FC Köln part of my life. Simon Terodde signed in January, did he not? He must have played.
Yeah, Terodde's played.
Well then, Roy. Hinteregger.
No, I think he was still at Augsburg.
Leo Bittencourt.
No.
Oh.
That was the one I was thinking about earlier, but I couldn't remember his name. Good to know I was wrong anyway.
Right, I've got another positive guess, and then after that I'm going to start struggling for the Köln lineup.
There's a few well-known ones left for
Frankfurt,
yeah.
Can we just jump in now? If it's more,
yeah, just jump in now.
Yeah, right. Vincenzo Cozziello. He started playing towards the end of that season.
He's a sub. He came on as a sub.
Right back at the time, Roush? Konstantin Roush?
No, he wasn't playing. I don't remember him that season.
He was there that season. I don't know if he left in January when they went down. So, Okovsky, the right back?
No.
Pavel Okovsky?
No.
Right, you said there was a well-known strike partnership, so that Perota and Cordoba was in there. Oh wait, what was? Sorry. Frankfurt.
Yeah.
What's the Frankfurt line?
They're all pretty reasonably well-known players. Some very well-known players in the Frankfurt lineup.
Let's have a guess. Who's left for the Köln lineup? I know you're talking about Frankfurt, but who's left for Köln?
A right back, a centre midfielder, and a left midfielder.
Centre midfielder. Right back.
Timothy Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler was left wing back for Frankfurt, yeah.
Yeah.
So for Frankfurt, you still get the keeper. You still get the centre back.
Follow the keeper?
No.
Wasn't Trapp?
No. Well known keeper.
Hradecky?
Yeah, Hradecky. You're on it. Yeah, 10-5 now.
That's not point. Do you think anymore?
That's a flash there. 10-5 to Roy. So I'll read out the lineups. Hradecky in goal, who you got. The back three for Frankfurt was Marco Rus, Makoto Hasebe, and Simon Fallet.
I was thinking of him, yeah. I couldn't remember his name.
DaCosta and Chandler wing back. So you got midfield, Boateng, Kevin Prince Boateng.
Was good to Guzman as well?
No, not to Guzman. See the bench. No, he wasn't the bench yet. Boateng and Omar Mascarell. Now,
relegation team.
Schalke relegation player. The front three was Ante Rebic, who you got Luka Jovic and Marius Wolf of Hertha. Now.
Think of Marius Wolf. What was your current lineup then?
Köln was Horn and Goal, who you got back for Sørensen right back.
Oh, Sørensen, he's a centre back though. I guess all the right backs for that era.
The rest of the back four was Mire, Heinz, and Hector.
Yeah.
And you got Lehmann. You didn't get Marco Huga or Zali Özcan. And you got Cordoba and Trod up front. So a much better performance from both of you, but particularly Roy in that one. I'm still in quite a bad mood from that last quiz and the fact that I had to come up with a new one on the spot. But
it was a beautiful quiz you came up with on the spot. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. And, you know, it was still good. You know, we still enjoyed our usual quiz. Next time, Colin, don't worry, we'll make yours easy. So you don't have to, that we'll make you win the next one. We'll rig it just so you win, just to make you feel better, okay? A bit where we apologise. But apart from that, it's been a really fun podcast, to be honest. We've actually got to speak about a lot of important matters. Once again, Julian, we were glad to get you on. Good to speak to you. Thanks for coming along.
Yeah, thanks from my side as well. It was enjoyable again. And yeah, I'm looking forward to be here again in the future. And hopefully with more positive news, Frankfurt being the reason. Steffen Baumgart running down the line at Bernabeu or something, isn't it?
Exactly. You'll definitely be back for more of that if that happens. And hopefully we'll have a better quiz next time when that happens as well. We'll work on it for Colin's sake. But to end on that, we'll see you next week. And Jonas Hector is the best ball gone.
Scotland! Back again here, yet again!